Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, check us out. Chuck the Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DLC, the Diggy Diggy motherfucking God.
Yo, what's up? This is your boy, Z-Man.
What up, yo? This is Isha.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
It's your boy, DJ Paul KOL from 36 Block.
Young Busy Bone.
Vice World.
This your man, Mastermind Hellraiser.
Yo, this is DJ Ready Red.
What up? This is the real Rick Ross, and you're listening to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
It's the Murder Master Music Show. Hip-hop is dead, but we don't resurrect it. You follow what lamestream says, but here it gets rejected. If you wearing tight jeans, don't expect to get respected. I'm from a time where wearing black was always on your checklist. From a time where faggots get checked if they reckless. From a time where if you got too much shine, we snatch your necklace. This real shit here, Illuminati, fuck the industry. We represent the street and they respect our street ministries. Take no shorts and cut the middleman, literally. This hip-hop savior, our birth scenes like nativity. This a place where no one sells out for relevability. And the masses can get a chance to explore more creativity. You gotta be kidding me. If you call that hip-hop, niggas with hot shades and fluorescent flip-flops. We killin' Big Brother, cause we know he watched. You don't like what I'm doing, then you can suck mine. And you don't
murder stop. Master Music Show. It's the Murder 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 Master Music Show.
Episode 270 on Murder Master Music Show. What's up, Mac J? How you doing, brother?
Man, I'm good, bro.
I just said UGSforLife.com, letting everybody know.
Yeah, right.
That's the site to go to. Man, we got returning guest tonight. We got a Big Hutch from Above the Law, Cold 187. He actually just debuted his new single today on Hip Hop DX. You know what I'm saying? We're going to be playing that. You know what I'm saying? Hustles Hard, featuring E-40 and Too Short, which is available right now. You can also, like I said, you can go see the video, Hip Hop DX. You know what I'm saying? And it's also available on iTunes. We're going to bring him in right now. You know what I'm saying? This is the one and only Cole 187. How you doing, brother?
What up with you, fam? What's good, man? You know.
Shit. What's good with it, Hutch?
You out here hustling hard, man. What's up?
Yeah, man. The video, man, much props. First off, the video is like a movie. For those that haven't seen it.
That's 4 minutes. You know, that's like 2 minutes of some scenes from The Black Godfather, the movie that comes out in October. So,
wow.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So, it's a movie that's going straight throughout the project.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a movie. You know, it's the album don't come out until August, but the movie comes out in October. So actually, the album is the soundtrack to the movie. It's a double album too. So, yeah.
Double album, shit.
Yeah,
see, that's what
it's three part
about,
movie.
Man.
The movie's a trilogy. You know, the movie's a trilogy. Like, and I tell people the movie, the premise of the movie is, you know, like if James Bond was a gangster, it'd be Cold 187, The Black Godfather. You know,
wow.
So it's like that. It's like high tech gangster shit, but it takes you back to, you know, when I first came up in the game, like hustling and all of that, you know, show you how he built this whole empire, you know, for the Black Godfather. So it's a cold, you know, it's a cold theory that I created, you know, with doing it, you know, because I felt like I couldn't just put out an album. So with Hustle Hard is the first little sneak peek of how, you know, the whole play will go down. That's why we shot it like a movie, you know, so.
That's smart, you know what I'm saying, marketing, because nobody really does anything like that anymore. You know, back in the day, it used to be done a little bit, you know, but
right.
You know, you don't really see that nowadays. You know, was it challenging for you to put this together in 2016?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, it took me, you know, it took us a year to do the whole album, you know, by because of a couple of things, you know what I mean? But I think most of all, like when, you know, me and Layla, we parted up and we started a company called Untouchable Music. And when we partnered up, I told him, you know, well, we've always been doing records together. And, you know, Layla bought Above the Law to the game. He bought Above the Law to Eazy-E and Dr. Dre. You know, so we all, you know, we're like family. We came up in the streets together. But we actually wanted to partner up and do a label. And I said, well, I don't really want to do records outside of, like, doing Above the Law stuff, you know, through a hall with KMG gone and everything, you know. So I was like, I don't really want to do a record outside of that unless I do something really special for, like, all my fans and, you know, and new people that never got to be exposed to Above the Law. So I said, let's try to attach a movie component to it. From there, I wrote the movie. And then then with him, we just started putting together, like, an album where we got a production staff and put the label together and everything. And that didn't make it as hard because, you know, I produced all of the Above the Law stuff. So that would have been really hard for me to have to produce the whole album, you know, and at the same time write, direct, co-direct, and produce a movie, you know. So it wasn't trialing by the ideals. It's just to get the legwork done was kind of like, you know, I'm glad people stepped in. And, you know, a lot of young producers came in and bought their A game. Of course, you know, I overseen everything. It wasn't like I wasn't in the room with them or, you know, wasn't telling them the direction that I did want to go in. So it wasn't hard in the fact of that. You know, it's kind of like I always made records. You know, I was totally involved with every creative process of it.
Yeah, yeah, and you've been doing this for a long time now. You guys, you know, just celebrated a quarter century. Last time we had you on, I believe you were on with Cocaine, the pioneers of G-Funk, the Architect.
That's right.
You guys created a whole genre. And since then, I remember, now this is amazing for those of you listening. Once you go back to the archive and check this out, you know, I don't think you were talking to Dre at the time, but since then you landed on the Compton soundtrack for Straight Outta Compton.
Right.
Before we play a song, I want to find out how that transpired because I was like, I was hella happy.
Well, the movie kind of brought, I think the movie brought everybody kind of back together because, you know, they used to call me every day down to the set. And that's kind of how we all, you know, reunited, basically, you know. From there, I didn't even know Dre was working on the album. When the movie wrapped up, me and Law actually started working on the Black Godfather album at this particular time. And then he started working on Compton. And then he called me one day when we were working on – actually, me and Law called DLC and was chopping up with DLC about the album. He's like, well, shit, me and Dre back in the studio working on some stuff too. What's up? So – about a day later, I end up getting a contact from Law to talk to Dre just to, you know, chop it up because I hadn't seen him since, you know, the movie, right, was being put together. So when I hit him, he was like, well, come through. I want to play some tracks for you. Let me know what you think about the album. And, you know, I'm like, you working? He was like, yeah, I'm going in. You know, I said, I think I'm going to drop something. You know, from there, shoot, I stopped doing what I was doing, basically, went in with him for like a week, you know, and we just kind of vibed out like the old Ruthless days. It was like being back at Ruthless, you know.
Wow.
And then from there, shoot, about the third or fourth day, he was like, you know, after I listened to a bunch of songs and vibed out with him, he was like, man, you want to get on the record? And then, you know, that same night, the musicians came in. He started developing the idea to Loose Cannons, and then from there, we just, you know, laid it. You know, kind of, you know what I mean? It was like organic. Everything was kind of like, you know, it's kind of like it was supposed to happen. You know, I wish I had this incredible story, you know, that, you know, he called me and, you know, it was like the skies opened or some shit, but it was really like two old partners coming back together on a musical level and just vibing. Yeah.
Like you said, it took you back to the early days
Yeah, it felt like Rufus, you know, in the spirit, I think that was just the spirit of Eazy-E. You know, I don't want to sound spooky on your show, dog, but, you know what I mean, I think that's the way Eric would have wanted it, you know what I mean? Like, that movie kind of blessed all of us to come to grips with each other, you know what I mean? Like, whatever indifferences we had in the past, I think we let that go by his spirit, you know what I mean? Because that's the way he wanted it. I know I saw it. I witnessed it come out of his mouth. He told me that's what he wanted. He wanted us all to be back together as a family. I mean, I'm sorry it took these many years, but finally it did. You know, we did it, you know. We kind of put all our differences to the side and, you know, decided to do something. And, you know, look what happened. The movie sells $200 million. You know, his record is platinum, you know what I mean? And we all back in the same room together. He's on my album, you know. Cube's on my album. You know, all those things made it be – all those things, the movie made it like that, you know.
Yeah.
And to me, the movie was the spirit of him, you know, so.
Yeah, that's amazing. You said, you know, I'm saying, the Black Godfather, you got Cube on there. You got, what was it like reconnecting with Ice Cube after all these years?
Oh, you know, me and Cube, we've been cool for a lot of years now because, like, after the whole little thing went down when he left, and then we had got into it with the lynch mob and everything, we squashed all our differences with the lynch mob. We actually, when Black Superman came out, we went on tour with him. I want to say it was the Predator tour, I think we went on. It's right before they were doing the West Side Connect record. And we went on tour with them, and we kind of like was like, you know, man, what happened? You know what I mean? Kind of like, man, I don't know, you know. You said this, I said that. And it's funny because he's been the only one that has ever been like, man, you know, like that was some crazy shit, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, we were young and we got around it, you know. So now I see him, you know, it's all love and, you know. And Laylaw actually made that possible because him and Laylaw is, like, really tight, you know what I mean? So they made the record happen. You know, Laylaw and other producer, S-Class producer, then they put it together, you know what I mean, along with the record that we're doing. It's me. It's actually be me, him, and Dre on the album. So, you know, but, yeah, man, I mean, you know, it's incredible, like, being back and, you know, in good graces when people, you know, I highly respect them. I mean, you know, our differences didn't even come from the music aspect. It basically came from, like, you know, young cats, you know, saying stuff, you know what I mean? And, you know, like now, you know, you could go to Twitter with stuff and go to Instagram and all that kind of stuff. Back then, you know, it was full-blown action, you know what I mean? So if you said something,
yeah,
you had to face it
time.
At some club, at some event or some, you had to face it, and cats didn't forget, you know? It didn't just go away like that. So, you know, we were family. So, you know, that was a whole lot of different feelings that went all the way around when things transpired by that. But it was, I think, with us being so close with each other in the early days, it was easy for us to get over those things, you know.
Yeah.
Because
it wasn't
elevated
and grown so much individually.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying, over the years. So, yeah, and like you said, Eazy-E's got to be smiling about all this.
Oh, yeah. That's the way he wanted it, man. I mean, yeah, he wanted it like this, man. You know, I mean, you know what I'm saying? My right-handed guy, and from his mouth, he said, man, you know, just like the movies say. The movies say a lot of other stuff, but just like he wanted that to happen. You know, that was high on his priority as far as, like, getting us all back together and getting us all in a room together and making records again, you know. So.
And then the Hall of Fame to top it off. I
Absolutely.
See DJ Yellen traveling around the whole fucking world. I think he's in
That's
Sri
right.
Lanka right now.
Yeah, he is. Yesterday. He just got to Sri Lanka yesterday. Yeah.
I mean, Jesus.
That's
you know,
why
I
was doing things.
Globetrotter.
Yeah, yeah, man. Yeah, well, you know, I mean, he deserves it. I mean, those guys,
thing.
You know, one thing I said to, I was saying to Dre, and I would say to Dre and Law, I was like, look, you know, I'm fortunate, you know, like a lot of people be like, oh, yeah, well, you know, you did this. You know, I was a producer that created G-Funk, and I, you know, I influenced the Chronic, and I influenced all these other things, and Warren's Records, and, you know, all the stuff that Snoop did and all this other stuff. But, you know, the highlight of my life is being on Niggas for Life, really, you know, because I was on the intro of a group that's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So,
yeah.
So,
and the first number one gangster rap album, too.
There you go. In the first, you know, and you know, my man KMG is the first voice you hear. I'm the second voice you hear on Niggas for Life.
Yeah.
So,
CPO.
It's funny. It's funny how all of us, you know, we were very fortunate to be, you know, a lot of people are not going to be able to say that, hey, you know, I worked with a group that's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I was a part of that success, you know what I mean? So to me, that's one of the highest honors. That's saying, like, you know, if you play with, you know, Michael Jordan or Larry Bird or Magic Johnson, you know what I mean? Like saying, damn, I played with them. Like, I was on that team. You know what I mean?
Pretty much y'all going to be remembered forever one way or the other. You know what I'm saying?
There you go. Yeah. So that's an incredible, you know, that's an incredible thing to be. Because, you know, and you know, we're talking to Ren. Ren was saying, like, you know, one thing about it, like getting in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, it's not really about sales. It's not really about, you know, all that different stuff, you know, all the hype and popularity. It's more about impact, how you impacted the culture. And I was like, there's no bigger group to me from that era than NWA that impacted the culture. You know what I mean? ENWA impacted culture. Now people will say, oh, that was the greatest this and that was the greatest that, but they impacted the culture. You know,
yeah, it was like some games, you know, like some straight game changing shit. You know what I'm saying?
There,
like,
you go. Right.
The whole
game
was changed when y'all was, you know, putting on, especially for me and Prez, because we not much younger than y'all, but we younger than y'all, so we come up under y'all listening to this music.
You from the
and
ladies.
I'm thinking, like,
you
I was 11 years old and Mike the Power was out and my son 11 years old. And what kind of songs he got now? You know what I'm saying?
There,
like,
they're
not really getting that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But they're getting it a little bit with movies and the things that y'all still
that
doing.
Shaped,
you
know that shaped your your structure of how you looked at society. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
they shaped that. You know, NWA shaped that. And you know, you tell me one thing. I said, any argument when people say this and that and that and this, it's only what group that do you know? Even when you say Public Enemy. Even when you say X-Clan, it's only one group that was labeled as a terrorist organization, like a threat organization, and were musicians was NWA. They were sought out by the FBI. There's only one group. There's only one group that happened to. There's only one group that it wasn't none of those other groups, and they were militant as fuck. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Only one group, so that shows you what type of impact. Well, they were targeted by the FBI. You know what I mean? As being labeled as being
taps, all that shit,
exactly,
following them.
That's right.
They put bugs in the cribs and shit. Like,
there you go. So you have to realize what other group has made records that have had that done to them. You know what I mean? What other group? Tell me in the history of it. Have that happened? You know, where the government labeled you as that when you do it, and then for Eazy-E to turn around and be at the White House, you know, is even more crazier. You know,
right.
I mean, he's the first rapper in there. You know what I mean? He's the first rapper there, you know.
That's like when our show makes mainstream media on one of these big sites. It's like a victory for the underground. You know what I mean?
There you go. Because you did it by being you. You did it by being you. You didn't compromise your point of view, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what I say about NWA. They didn't never compromise their point of view, but they are just as popular as any mainstream group. Any big boy band, they were just as popular. You know?
Oh yeah, but y'all was our heroes, man. Like y'all, even above the law, man. Shit, y'all made Black Superman. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
that's right. Yeah, yeah.
You know, we was young, listening to that shit and feeling them songs. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
I love for a motherfucker
to
ask me what I'm listening to. You know what I'm saying?
And the science on Black Superman was that the crazy story on Black Superman, on the pop tip, the record was. They told us that the record had done everything that it can do on an urban level. The only reason why we can't take it pop is because it's called Black Superman. But see, that's the climate we came up in. And now see that that shows you the difference in now. Now if Black Superman was a big urban record now, they wouldn't give up.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Y'all be all over right now still doing that. You know what I'm saying?
So you see how much of a threat we were to society, basically, by making records, even what we labeled ourselves as. You know what I mean? So now we're not as much as a threat because, I want to say maybe it wouldn't do because now, you know, everything is kind of sugarcoated and everybody's at the club off pills and shit now. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Everybody's kind of You know, everybody's music kind of speaks that now. I mean, it's groovy. You know, I can dig it, but but come on, let's, you know, let's get some balance here, you know. But you know, that's when I come back, we'll get deep, you know.
Yeah. No
for
doubt,
sure,
no
for
doubt.
Sure. Let's give them this track, though, Hustle Hard featuring E-40 and Too Short, Hustle Hard.
Too Short.
Tell us about this one, the intro for us, Colt Wayne 7.
Okay, yeah, you know, this Hustle Hard, it's the first, you know, it's the first single off the Black Godfather album featuring E-40 and Too Short. You know, the record came together, you know, real smooth and real fly. It actually came together because of Short. You know, we're going to do another record with Short on the album. And Short was listening to some beats that we had, and me, you know, I was the only one on. He said, man, what about that joint? Who getting on that? And Short jumped on it, and then he said, man, I think I hear 40 on it. So we shouted to 40, and 40 got on it, and there you got it. You got Hustle Hard. And, you know,
wow.
The whole thing about Hustle Hard is just, you know, you got to always, no matter what it is, you got to stay with the grind, you know what I mean? That's the whole philosophy of it, you know what I mean? Like, we just got to stay with the grind, you know? And there you have it. Hustle Hard. Check it out, y'all. You know we do it.
Right here, Murder Master Music Show. Just like.
Yeah.
Check 1, 2, man. You are about to witness the essence of the real money. Get up.
Back.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about right there, man. That's, you know what I'm saying? You can't really fuck with that. That's that G-Funk. I'm bringing back on Cole 187. We got
that
someone 40, else on the line, too.
He still be ripping that shit.
Yeah, man. That's, you know what I'm saying? You got to think about
man.
It. All three
yeah.
of you guys, you know what I'm saying, are on top of your A-game in 2016. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that's got to say something to the longevity.
Yeah, but you know, the thing about it is that, you know, the thing of what I really feel that a lot of people don't understand, I think that when you really are focused on your craft first, and as long as you keep the fire and love for it, you're always going to be relevant. You know, it's just hard. You know, people look at hip hop. It's not a fatty music, even though it's very fashionable. You know what I mean? It's
mm-hmm.
it's hard for people to look at it like that because everybody thinks like it's about, oh, this is new, this is new, this is this, this is that. But most of the guys who came up in hip hop, you got to realize they're very young. Like when we all started, we were teenagers. You know what I mean? We first started making
records.
We were like 19, 20 years old. So, you know, we started the music from a young perspective, and we started in a music that was at its embryo stage, you know. So with
mm-hmm.
the music not being really, really old, it's hard for you to be like, even if you say like old school artists, if they just want to get out and do it, most of us are still fresh, you know what I mean, because we weren't old starting it. We weren't 25 and started with our first hit. We were like 19 years old with our first hit, you know what I mean?
Right.
So it's kind of hard for people to really understand, like, how people can really still have that fire and that flavor. But when you start really young, you know, and you start in a form of music that's really, really new, that it's all experimental. Because, you know, you got to realize the first 10 years that we made records, they were by experiment. You know what I mean? So these
mm-hmm.
next, like, the when you look at 20-something years later, now we're just actually starting to master our craft. You feel me?
Right.
Because everything was like, it was experimental. You know, they now people can come up in it, and because they have so many easy way in, you know, you got to realize
mm-hmm.
probably about 8 of those years is nothing but the grind, you know.
Right.
Most of us
to ask you, do you think that's the reason why a lot of the majors try not to deal with most of the legends and stuff like that, is because you guys have finally mastered your craft, so they can't just really shoot around? Because, like, not even with
the
music, just like with the business.
Yeah, the
and
value
everything.
That we have a better value than a lot of people, and if we still can do it, that's what scares them. You know what I mean? Like if we couldn't do it, it'd be easy for them to pat us on our back and say, you know, here goes some Geritol. But if you
right.
still can do it, it's hard for them to have to pay you. Because if you listen to me, E-40, and Too Short, and you listen to mm-hmm. 10 new rappers, we probably can boss up to them. Whether they want to think so or not, we can, because you physically see us doing it. You understand? It doesn't matter about how long we've been here. It's about whether we still can do the act, you know.
Yeah.
And we consistently been doing the act, you know. So when you look at it like that, to say, okay, well, he can go in and make a record like a 19-year-old kid, but his value is, like, off the charts. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because let's just say if I get the same push as a J. Cole, people
mm-hmm.
will buy my records like they'll buy J. Cole, because I still can flow, you know. I still
right.
can do it. It's not like it's like, okay, he's missing a step, or he's, you know, it's not a game like that. It's all about winning fans over. And what I think, what people who consume music, they like good music. It's either dope or whack. It's either relevant or it's not relevant. You know what I'm saying? It's not all
right.
these things that people, it's not all these things that people put up, because people buy music. So when you look at something that people consume, if I talk about hustling hard, who don't got to hustle hard? Somebody that's 19
yeah.
years old got to hustle hard. Guess what? He still got to survive in this. He still got to survive in this world and make money. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
if that's what's coming out of my mouth, if you're 19 years old, it's relevant to you. It's relevant if you're 25. It's relevant if you're 30. It's relevant if you're 35. It's relevant if you're 45. It's relevant if you're 50 because you woke up this morning. You feel me? So if you hear that record playing on a radio station all day, who can't relate to you having to get up and hustle hard? You know.
Right. You sure right. You know what I'm saying? Because shit changes, but shit's still the same all at the same time.
That's right.
You know
it's either dope, whack, or it's relevant. It's either dope, whack, or it's relevant. It don't matter if a new dude do it or an old cat do it, a veteran do it. It don't matter. Everybody got to get off of that rap. First of all, rap is not that old. So a motherfucker that's been in it 20 years really haven't the music industry. He started the music industry. It's not really it's not like rock and roll where it's 60 years old. You feel me?
Right.
Where it's 100 years old. It's not that old.
Right, y'all straight creating.
The one we say is the golden age.
Right,
the people say the golden age is only 20 years ago in hip hop. It's only been around like what 55 years or some stuff like 45 years or some shit like that.
Right.
Think about it. It what is it? It's 80. What is it, 79, 80 or some shit like that.
Right. Late 70s, early 80s. So. Not even 40 plus years all the way sometimes.
That's what I'm saying, brother. You know what I mean? That's what I mean. It's not even 40 some years as a form of music.
Or you could pretty much put it like this with some of the listeners. It's still people out here that remember when hip hop wasn't even around. So
absolutely. And it's people that remember when hip hop was blackballed and taboo and you know wasn't getting played all day and what you know what I mean?
Right. Because I've shown them that. You know.
And what I'm saying is they're not guys who roll around in wheelchairs at old folks' homes. They're guys who can match right up to you. You feel me?
Exactly. Yeah. Hell
so
yeah.
That's what
I'm
saying.
Still there. Anyway. Right.
Still
y'all still eat these motherfuckers up anyway.
When NWA got inducted, you had the first thing you heard was Gene Simmons. Oh, they don't belong in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Right.
Yo, I thought, what the fuck is he saying?
Well,
I just always look at it like they be on some hater shit
there,
anyway.
Beastie Boys don't belong. I mean, you know. They
well,
belong
you know,
there.
Quite
like
frankly,
this.
It should be more in there, if you ask me.
Does Run DMC belong in there? Does P.E. belong in there? Yes, although because they impacted the culture, like regardless.
Yeah,
they impacted
exactly.
The culture just like Kiss did. And the Rolling Stones and the Beatles and whoever's in there. You know what I mean? So the thing that Gene Simmons had to worry about is the fact that don't ever be worrying about a board that says people start and label it something and they look at it and they research something and they feel like people should, you know, because people come out and say whether that's relevant to them or whether it impacted them. That's the people speaking. You know, it's not Kiss fans. It's not Rolling Stone fans. It's the people, period.
Right.
You know what I mean? It has nothing to – you can't think about it as that. I can't take it it's worse for us because it's a polling thing, but it's worse when you're trying to get into – say you're trying to get into the NFL Hall of Fame or the NBA Hall of Fame. There's a board that says it. You know what I mean? With the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, they look at impact of a culture. And so it's people who say you belong in there. You feel me?
Right.
It's not
like, what do you think about the
hip-hop
museum they got going on right now? Because, you know, they got they're coming together with the Universal Hip-Hop Museum at the same time. Y'all going to be some cats that's in there, too. You
great.
Know?
I think we helped build we built the industry, you know. I think we helped build the industry. I think that's great that they would honor us and say that it's the greatest form of it's one of the greatest forms of music that was ever created. Great, you know. Who's mad at that? You know, those are the things that when I'm pretty sure the Kool Herc's and the Bambaataz and the you know and all those guys and the Red Alerts and you know the Eazy-E's and the you know people like that who built this, you know. And the Lil James, the Lukes, and all these other cats like that really was digging in their pockets when it wasn't nothing going on, when it was just a great idea and bringing kids up out the ghetto to get them off the block and do something right.
Right.
That's great, man. You know what I mean? Like, that's incredible for us to have. be some of us to be in the Hall of Fame, and then them to create a museum, and them to create. That means that whoever was following us appreciate what we all done collectively, you know.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and that's pretty much what we do with this show. That's
you
why we. That's the main reason why we stick doing it.
No one gave a fuck about. Like I tell people, don't knock cats like cats that came from the origin of this, because we were music that nobody, you know, wanted to fuck with. You're very, very fortunate to be hearing Drake and Future and all these people on mainstream radio, because it was a time what they were doing would never be heard, no matter how good they did it. You know, it would only come on once a week for 4 hours. Y'all remember that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everywhere. You feel
Hell
me?
Yeah.
Everywhere. Once a week for 4 hours. And that's all the hip-hop you got on in radio and in the mainstream. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I remember
was lucky
a time
to catch
we,
a couple of videos and shit every now and then.
Right.
Before they had Rap City and shit. But even with Rap City, you wouldn't get to see all the videos. They played who they wanted to play most of the time.
That,
you know what
there
I'm
you
saying?
Go.
Like,
it's selective. It's all selective. It's all selective. And you had to bust your ass to be able to be selected. You know, you're absolutely right. But see, that's why I say I wanted to do a new record, and I wanted it to be as sharp as anybody's record that has came out, and it was and as dope as anybody that's making records in the modern day. Because I think what people have to realize is that our energy is going to translate into the younger generation having a better industry. You know, it's the corporate have made it to where we're over here, they over there. What I try to do with the Black Godfather, the whole movement, is to bridge the OGs with the BGs, you know what I mean, and show them that us as Dons, as OGs, can come together and have unity on one album, and in turn, we appreciate everything that y'all are doing. We just want to show y'all that we still do it for the love of hip-hop, you know, not to show you up, not to knock you down, but to show you that, look, I always believed in one thing, man. You know, you can sit around and be the cat that's a part of the problem, or you can be all totally a part of the solution. I decided to make records and continue to make records because I want to be a part of bettering hip-hop. I'm not saying hip-hop is bad. I'm just saying that if I'm from an era and I know I have such knowledge, I need to be out here displaying the knowledge. You understand?
Right. Balancing that shit all out. You know what I'm saying?
I don't expect cats who are never there to understand and have the knowledge. You dig? I don't expect people who were never there. That's why I don't knock new people, because how am I to expect them to be there and understand what was going on when they just started rapping 5 years ago and they 20 years old? They don't even know who I am. So why don't I put out a record and let them experience who I am? You know, right now. Not going back to the old shit. Right now. Because I'm living. You feel me?
Right.
That's real shit.
And that's
right.
The beauty of music, y'all. Yeah. That's the beauty of music. It orders us, if you want to, it orders us to bridge. You know, we just get so caught up in the what something was. I say, look, I don't live off the past in order to have success in the future. You know, I don't do that. I live in the moment and do great things like I did in the past in the future. You know, I work right now.
Taking what you learned and shit. Yeah.
And be active, because no one respects an OG. Nobody respects an OG that ain't out there on the grind like them. Why would you? Why would you respect a general who ain't in the war with you? Why would you respect him? You wouldn't. Why would you respect somebody that's not on the front line with you? You wouldn't. Because you can't use his knowledge if he's not. You can't use his knowledge if he's not on the front line with you. Because he has to show you what it is. When you go right here, this is what you do. When you go right there, this is what you do. You have to be active. You can't sit back and say what was.
Hell of a show so far, man. Dropped a lot of knowledge. We got the debut. Hustle's Hard featuring E-40 and Too Short. But before you go, I want to take a couple callers. There's one, 818. What's up, 818?
What up, y'all? Man, I just want to give a OG salute to my dude, Cole 187, Big Hutch. You know, the Star Lansky representing in this motherfucker. You already know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's my guy, man. What's up, boy?
Man,
yeah,
you know,
one of the,
I'm just,
one of the guys
just
at the round table.
Like I always do, my G, you know.
You know, he's one of the guys at the round table. You know, Dyer is, you know, Dyer, you know, been with me through the whole album. So, you know, he's one of the guys on the round table of producers that made all this happen, you know what I mean? So, yeah, big ups to Don Lansky, you know what I mean? That's
you
my
already
brother,
know, but
man,
I,
so,
but
yeah.
But I tell you what, like, everything that he was just saying about, you know, not knocking people and, you know, how do I expect people that don't know me, you know, to know what's going on and shit like that? Like, from day one with Hutch, I will have to say, you know, I'm a hip-hop dude. I'm kind of like what you would call a backpacker and shit like that. You know, I'm in the, like, crazy little underground hip-hop and shit like that. So,
already, yeah.
You know, so I'm kind of, like, kind of biased on shit. But I really
That's
learned
right.
from Hutch in a musical standpoint that, I mean, you can't really knock people for doing what they feel. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And there's a saying we have here, and we always bring it up, but it's like, when we started the album, he didn't know what he wanted particularly, but he knew what he didn't want. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
So everybody is different. And
That's
you
right.
know, I salute him for sure because, you know, this whole process of the Black Godfather, which everybody's going to hear is just crazy. It's been a life-changing experience. You feel me?
Yeah.
And it's been something that I will never forget in my whole life. And it starts by hustling
up,
hard. You know what I mean? With
Hell
the first single, Hustle Hard, and it just it's just crazy. So, you know, everything that you know, people listen to everything that he's saying, soak it up and literally take it to heart because it's going to bring improvement, if, especially in the rap game, you know, completely. And
oh,
you know,
oh, yeah.
it's like I said,
oh, yeah.
man.
Because I give
so,
a fuck. You know, Dyer tell you, I give a fuck. Like, Dyer tell you, I give a fuck about all of it. I don't knock nobody. I listen and I take heed to all of it. You know what I'm saying? Trap, the backpack shit, whatever y'all want to say. You know what I'm saying? I'm you know, I am the, you know, I am the what I say of God. I'm the ultimate student, but a great master. You know what I mean? I study everything. You know what I mean? He knows I study everything and everybody. You know, and I had to get out my own way on this record, and I had to listen to them a lot from the young perspective, you know, and I let them lead me to a place where I could get the freshness that I have. You know what I mean? I never came in and said, "Oh, that's some bullshit." I let him give me what he felt like he had. You know what I mean? Like when Dyer submitted things to me, and when Dyer got in the car with me, I let him give me what he felt like he had, you know what I mean? And it's funny, think about it, Dyer, a lot of stuff that we done wasn't even the stuff that you had in your mind for me. It was the stuff that you would rap to, you know. It
yeah.
was the stuff
no,
that
and,
was
and,
more
and was.
Hip-hop than, you know what I mean?
No, it was. It was a crazy experience, too, because it was like, man, I'm about to drop my hottest shit to him, like, duh-duh-duh. And mind you, we had a little, you know, a little bit of a, you know, we had already had some studio experience with each other, you know, before that. But
yeah,
then,
yeah.
as I was seeing his reactions to what I was playing in, I was like, oh, I need a whole different folder. You know, like,
right.
I need a, you know,
right.
whole different folder. But it worked
yeah.
because, again, you know, I mean, I'm not as young as like, the Drake generation and shit like that. You know, I grew up listening to Hutch. You know, that,
right.
like, period, yeah. point blank. But, you know, even as a producer myself, I'm a producer and artist myself, but even as a producer, I've even changed with the times. And Hutch is my
right.
OG. You
right.
feel me? So it's like, you know, everything I you know, since then I looked at a different perspective because I'll tell you, especially as an artist perspective, we are, I know it's cliche, but we are our own worst critic. You feel me? So,
right.
You know,
yeah.
you never know when you have a hit until you get somebody else to fucking rap to it. I'm sorry. That's just the way
right.
it goes as a producer because I hear it from a completely different ear than
that's
somebody
right.
else that's never heard it. You know what I'm saying? That's going to do it. So, but one thing that Hutch has, though, and always has, is even if he did the beat or didn't do the beat, he hears it, does what he has to do to it, and then there's a whole other side of Hutch to make it that complete song. And that, I
right.
think that's been the most valuable experience to me is to see, like, man, because we don't get me wrong, we you know motherfuckers and you know artists bump rough copies of their shit
right.
with everything, like you know what I mean. But mm-hmm. look, I've seen these songs that we originally did transition into what they are now, and I'm tell you, it's a once in a lifetime experience. You know, it's like it's that shit you check off on the bucket list. You know, so again, man, I don't want to take up too much of y'all's time, but I definitely had to. You know, call in for my dude, and man, by Godfather, I can't wait for my.
And see, I want to say this: if any producers are listening, I think, any young producers are listening, because I always, you know, I always like to say this: I always try to tell them, like, when you talk about production, you have to allow the song to tell you where it wants to go. You know what I mean? Never get locked into. And that's what I kind of taught Dyer and S Class. You know, my younger producers that's coming up under me, and you know, that's what I wanted to give them. I wanted to be able to give them something that when they do records with other people or do their own records, that they can say, it's something else in there. Let me let the record tell me what to do. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's the best thing I can advice I can give to young producers is like, let the record, because I learned that from Laylaw and Dr. Dre, and you know, as I was coming up making records and developing my sound and developing my own sound with G-Funk, and I always let it tell me where it wanted to go. You know what I mean? And you know, Dyer see me, he see me walk away from a record and be like, I'll come back and be like, okay, yeah, da 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 da. You know what I mean? And they'll think it's complete.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I tell them, no, it's telling me something. You know, it might seem weird to y'all, but allow that to happen for you, and you will make so many, you will make really, really phenomenal records that way, you know. If you just walk away from it and let it tell you, it's going to tell you a story, you know.
Yeah. Most definitely. We got another caller, Hutch, 310.
Yeah, what up, man? What up, man? I appreciate it, man. I appreciate the quality of information and the quality of music that the homie Cole 187 brings to the table with your boy Wayne G. And I just got
right.
You know what I'm saying? Just to let you know, I got your back, bro. I'm back here. You feel me? We back here supporting you, big homie, on the real.
Right,
and the only thing I wanted to say is, like, man, like, you haven't disappointed so far. You feel me? The last record, you feel me, that you touched, you know what I'm saying, was on that Compton album. And then
right.
like, so the anticipation for this to be your first single, you know what I'm saying, because I'm from Chicago, and so, like, I just go on the record and say, like, this is what I expect from the West Coast, you know what I mean? Like,
there you go,
music with a content, you feel me? That's a gangster with a content. That's what they meant.
There you go.
You feel me? It ain't just
that's
that fluff
right.
bullshit, talking about this tough-ass shit, you ain't tough, it's cool, nigga, we doing what we doing,
right.
and it's real music. Because I'm telling
that's
you,
right.
I'm finna put the 15s in my shit, finna ride around, hustle hard, finna be the ringtone. What you
talking
about? What you talking about?
My
6
man.
In the morning, that's what's going to be going off. Hustle hard. You trying to get up and get it, man. I appreciate you, Hush, man. You keep
all right,
coming.
Man, you too, man. Thanks,
mm-hmm.
man. You know it.
Man,
100.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yep.
The people speak for themselves. They know what they want to hear. You know what I'm saying?
That's
and,
right.
It sounds like they're going to be getting a lot of good music on this Black Godfather album. And you said it's coming out in August.
It comes out in August. I mean, no, superstar lineup, you know what I'm saying? You know, you got everybody on there from, like I said, you got CeeLo Green, you know, Big Gift from the Goody Mob, Ice Cube, you got Cocaine, you got Snoop Dogg, you got Big Psych from Thug Life on it, shit, you got Corrupt, you got Jail Felony, Dub C, Be
oh,
Real,
yeah,
Tech Nine.
Oh, yeah, shit, for sure.
Yeah, man, shit. Yo-Yo, me and Yo-Yo did a record called Black Superwoman. Crazy.
What?
Oh, yeah. The record is crazy, man.
Oh, that's crazy.
Shoot. Yeah, man. Shit. You got me, Sugar Free, and AMG on a record called Told You Twice is crazy as. Woo.
You said AMG?
Man, let me tell you. Yeah, me, AMG, and Sugar Free.
Oh, man.
Vertical Snoop Dogg. Just a fish cut
right,
out of my money.
Saying it at the same time.
Y'all
drop this, man. August, that's going to be a good month anyway. So shit.
Yeah, man. It's crazy, man. I mean, you know, just to name a few, man.
Bring
it back
to Class 91 and shit. Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Exhibits on it. Me and Exhibits on a record called Renegade. Me and Rastaz on a record called Cold, man. You know what I mean? Man, the list goes on, man.
You know what I mean?
Wow. Right, so it sounds like you had fun making this album, man. You know what I'm saying?
I loved it, man. I got to do the record with guys that I really respected. That's one. You know, and of course, you know, I'll come back and break the record down with y'all when I come back. But, you know, before I step, you know, right now and just, you know, y'all go to iTunes and get Hustle Hard, you know, I did the record with a lot of guys that I had a lot of respect for my whole career, you know what I mean? And fortunately, they got the call with me, you know, and they rode till the wheels fall off with me on this record, man. So it's a beautiful thing, man, to be able to do it. I'm really blessed in this music to be able to do it 20, 25 years this year, you know, and shit, live on, man, you know, for my man KMG and Eazy-E and Tupac, you know what I'm saying? So I'm fortunate that all, you know, my colleagues came together and did this record with me. You know, Black Jesus is on it narrating, you know what I'm saying, Slick Dick Slick, you know, for the Black Jesus, you know, the actor.
Yeah,
he narrated the record. He plays like, you know, he's my advisor on the whole record. You know, DLC, he's on the run of the record. Oh, Boss Hogg, too, you know. So, yeah, CPO, he's on the record, too. So,
CPO. Shout out to CPO, man.
Yeah, so the record is crazy, man. I mean,
hell of an artist.
So the record is crazy, man. You guys, you know, you're gonna be on a journey, man. You know,
man that's what I mean. A double disc plus a movie trilogy. I mean, that's crazy.
We're gonna have some fun, man. We're gonna have some fun in hip hop this time, y'all. We're gonna have some fun now. We're gonna show everybody.
It sounds it really sounds like the question shouldn't have been who do you have on the album. The question should have been who don't you have on the album, because I heard half of my CD collection from the 90s.
There you go.
I was like, holy
and
shit!
It's a Don's album. The Black Godfather album is a Don's album. The second record that's gonna come out, it'll be a Capo mixtape with this El Padrino Negro Capo mixtape. In between the second albums with nothing but Capos on it. It's nothing but the young guys with me doing collaborations on the second record. And then the third album is a combination of both, you know.
Wow, so you're switching it up with all
the Black Godfather.
Yeah, that's, you're trying to touch all corners of the globe with that, man. Hey, much respect to you, Hutch. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. And we look forward to having you back out in August, because we definitely want to play some more of them tracks off that Black Godfather
album. Y'all, we'll do a listening party or something, man. Make it, you know, turn up, man. You know what I'm saying?
Right on.
I'll send some of my El Padrino Negro wine, you know, and, you know, we'll just do it like that, you know what I mean? We'll make it make sense, you know what I mean? We'll sip a little bit, talk a little shit about the album, you know, reminisce a little bit, you know what I mean? And then talk about the future as well, you know, because that's where the money at.
the future
was to come, you know. Ain't nothing going backwards with what we used to do. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, that's real cool.
Right on.
You know what I'm saying? The world keeps changing. You don't know what
there
it's
going
to be,
man.
Like 2 years from now.
But you know,
you control it.
You control it. Right now, you do know what's going to happen 2 years from now. You just hope that the universe and God bless you will be in here. You know what I mean? Because you're doing it right now.
Real
you know,
tough.
You're living right now. It's tomorrow. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Living right now is tomorrow. You know, you can't live yesterday, you know.
Yeah.
So that's what we're doing. That's why I say, you know, we're going to sit down, we're going to talk about the future, because that's where the money's at, you know, because that's what we got to prepare ourselves to get to.
Yeah, that's real talk, right, man. Real talk. Well, thanks again for coming on the show, Hutch.
Thank you guys for having
everybody
me, man.
Go out. Anytime, brother. And everybody go out and get the new single, Hustle's Hard, featuring E-40 and Too Short, available on iTunes right now. Go to Hip Hop DX, check out the video. It's like 7 minutes long, man. It's a dope-ass video.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You will be entertained. You will be entertained.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. Well, thanks again, Hutch. We appreciate you, brother. You take care of yourself, man.
Thank you, man. God bless, man.
Right on, man.
Whoa.
Man, that's a Cole 187.
Man,
hell of a show. Hell of a show. Always
Hutch always cool when he come on, man. You know what I'm saying? It's always,
always
good
informative. Always
we ain't had him in a while. And I'm looking forward to that album. He named off all kind of. I want to hear Sugar, because we a gang of them motherfuckers we still got to get. I want to interview Sugar Free and These motherfuckers still still doing it. We need to see what's good with it.
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely. I mean, they know, you know, cats like DJ Quick, you know what I'm saying? We got at him. A lot of these guys, you know what I'm saying? It's just a matter of time. You know what I'm saying? Like Hutch, we were blessed to actually, if you think about it, the first time Hutch was on the show was about 4 years ago. So, I mean, we were blessed to have Hutch early and different guys, you know what I'm saying? But some of these guys, somehow they eluded us, you know what I'm saying? And it's just a matter of time before we get them on the show. Like Willie D. Shout out to Willie D. Took us 3 years to get him on the show. Eventually it happened. Was a hell of a show. And in the same week that he was on, we were competing with these big media conglomerates, these fucking mega media giants, you know what I'm saying, with these deep pockets. We was actually competing with them, and we was getting press, some of them bigger press than some of these motherfuckers. So, you know what I'm saying, everything happens, you know what I'm saying, and it's starting to work out, so it's good. Shout out to Hutz. I can't wait to hear that Black Godfather, man. That sounds like it's going to be a hell of a fucking record. I mean, not just all the features, but you know what I'm saying? I like the concept he's talking about.
And then you know his production going to be right, too.
Yeah. Yeah, you already know that, man. Definitely. You know what I'm saying? He got the, I mean, this is the pioneer G-Funk. I mean, this guy was able to help influence Dre with certain things. So, I mean, you know, it's going to be a very musical album. It's not just going to be a bunch of beats thrown together. It's going to be some real musical shit. You know what I'm saying? So I look forward to it. We're going to have him back in August. Coming up on the show, you know, just go to UGSForLife.com. We've got some surprises coming up. But tomorrow, make sure you tune in. Tell them what the business is, Mac.
You know, episode 2, Underground Saturday Nights. You know, last week, episode 1 was pretty cool, wasn't it, Fred?
Man, it was a hell of a show. It was very
For the first episode, we had fun. Good story.
For episode 1.
Velva was talking about the fucking the gorilla shit. And then the next couple of days, it went worldwide with the baby falling in. So we do the news with Vail. You might hear something that might go viral the next couple of days after that. So,
yeah, Velvet, you know, is, I mean, she's very good with the news. Shout out to Velvet Rose. You know what I'm saying? Be entertained tomorrow. If you want to have a good laugh, a good time,
yeah.
Make sure to call in, too. Hit the line, 714-409-0548. And visit the website, UGSForLife.com. We've been updating it like a motherfucker. Shout out to Dome, you know what I'm saying, our webmaster. He's been working on it. I've been working on it 24/7. Shout out to Scratch. He's been knocking on graphics. If you need some graphics.
Yeah, Scratch got us looking real nice right now.
Yeah, Scratch got them killer graphics, you know what I'm saying. Hella affordable. And very, very fast with it. Also, another show, be looking out for Skinny Man on the Rant. That's coming very soon, too.
Yeah, I can't
that's
wait for
be
that.
A podcast show. yeah, that dude's crazy, man. Shout out to Skinny Man.
I'm dedicating,
man,
like, a Skinny show. What day you going to be playing it on? You don't know just yet?
No, not yet. It's definitely going to be this month, though. Skinny did say it's going to be this month. We ain't got a date yet, but it's going to be this month. And no telling what he's going to say. Because, you know, he did these rants on the Church of Reality for a couple of years. And, you know, he goes off.
He's on SoundCloud, man. His SoundCloud crazy, too.
Controversial shit. You know what I'm saying? But it's also going to be fun. It's going to be informative. It's going to be real. And then, of course, this Sunday, make sure to check out the Church of Reality. You know what I'm saying? 9 p.m. Central. Shit, man. And Scratch LDP, he's coming real soon with Slaughterhouse Number 10, which is a mix. He's actually putting together 100 verses, you know what I'm saying, for episode 10. So be looking out for that. Yeah. And the night before that pops off, you know what I'm saying, we're not sure what date that's going to happen yet, but the night before that pops off, we're going to have him on the Murder Master Music Show. We're going to see what's up with him. Who the fuck is Scratch LDP? He's been on with LDP, but he ain't been on by himself. We're going to see who the fuck he is.
Yeah, let's
chop
check
it up
out
with him for a minute.
Find out who's Scratch. You know, let's scratch beneath the surface.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. You're going to have to scratch beneath the surface. That dude is, I'm telling you, he's killing it with the art. If you want a, you want a real dope-ass album cover or even a logo, make sure to just go to ugsforlife.com. There's graphics right there. And if you don't want to, you know, if you're not into Scratch's graphics, you might be in to Emo's graphics. You know what I'm saying? Emo's also doing graphic art right there. Let's see who this is on the line. It's a bunch of random ones. Who is this on the line? Random ones. How you doing?
Random ones. What's up? Random ones.
Lock caller. Welcome to Murder Master Music Show. What do you want to say? You're live.
Missed the interview?
Yeah, you just missed the
interview. Just cut out.
Man. By about 10 minutes.
Okay.
You know. Yeah, how you doing?
I
want
to hear
from?
The interview. I'm from Cali. I want to hear the interview.
Well, you gonna okay? I'll tell you what, man. Go to ugsforlife.com. In about a little over an hour, it'll be up there. We're gonna shut this
What's
bitch down right
again?
Now.
Say it again.
It's ugsforlife.com. UGS the number 4 life.com. Go check it out. And it'll be up there. Check out all the other interviews and shows we got too.
I will. How was the new Code 187 sounding?
The new Code 187, you're going to hear it right now, man. We're going to actually close the show out with it. It's hella dope. It's got E-40 and Too Short, Hustle Hard, Code 187, Above the Law. Make sure you go get that on iTunes, available right now. Here it is, homie. Check it out. Thanks for calling in, man.
Thank you, man.
UGS for life, bitch.
Check 1, 2, man.
You are about to witness the essence of some real money. Get up.
Check.
know how to foray. I'm from the land that funded the Contras. Taught you how to survive and live straight out of Compton. We do major work, state to state. We don't hesitate. We just elevate. While you hate and you masturbate, we go get that cheese while you freeze and live on your knees. We just straight blow up with big nuts while you follow up. We just don't sit back and complain. That you can't come up. We set up a lick, hit your block, hit an armored truck. We all out for them dead presidents. Cause if it don't make sense, how the fuck can we make millions? We on the cover.
Trying to come up.